Hello and welcome all to the couch at 420 on the block.
All right.
And we've got an incredible set of guests today for this beautiful, beautiful Earth Day out at 420 on the block here on April 22nd. I'm Dr. Brian Hewlett, but you can also call me Dr. Life, and we'll talk about what life is all about in a little bit. But before we do that, we are here today to talk about hemp sustainability, right? And we've got some incredible, incredible people on our couch today that are going to kind of help us out with this. And let's start from, say, here and go over and introduce yourself and let them know who you are.
Hello, thanks for Happy Earth Day. My name is Eric McKee, and I'm here on behalf of the Wonder Workshop, and we're here to educate and the wonderful world of industrial hemp as well as cannabis in all forms. And we're here just to share Earth Day. Thanks for having us.
Hi, my name is Leland Rucker. I'm the senior editor of Senzi Magazine, which is intended to be a magazine about cannabis for adults. And I've been doing this for 2 years, and I find that most of the writing that I do is educational in nature, and that's definitely part of that when we talk about hemp. Am I eating it now? And so I'm just glad to be here, and I'm so happy to hear that the federal government is finally changing its mind, maybe changing its mind, and that we might actually have hemp legal here in the next year or so.
My name is Hunter Buffington. I'm the executive director for the Colorado Hemp Industries Association. I have a long background in working on development, that's social, economic, and environmental development, and if I may dare say it, climate change, which is the biggest threat to our species of our time. And I think this panel is going to be really exciting to talk about what are some of the barriers, like why haven't we figured this out? So I'm really excited to have this conversation on Earth Day and to be literally surrounded by greatness.
Greetings in the name of the Most High. I'm Rasa Stevie, and I'm a ganjapreneur and a ganja prisoner from the 70s forward, and I've been working for the freedom of food, fuel, and fiber long before anybody ever talked about medicine.
Nice. I like how you said ganja prisoner. Yes, we're prisoners a lot in a lot of our social world. So let's why don't we start, right, to get into it. And today we're talking about hemp, right, you know. And I've been doing these talks, these couch sessions for the last 3 days. And I've learned a lot in these couch sessions. And I just didn't know what the difference between hemp was, you know, and cannabis and, you know, all those things. So I just learned this. So today we're going to make sure we stick as much as possible to hemp, even though we'll go back and forth with each other. So let's talk about hemp, right? And let's talk about what the restrictions are right now. Why is hemp, according to what we know in terms of how sustainable it is and what it can do to help create more sustainable practices and uses that it has, why the heck is it not used, and why is it, you know, structurally not allowed? You know, what's going on here?
That's you. Where's your flag?
That's me. I give it to you. So I brought, oh, excellent. I have a prop. Thank you. So this is a really great question. And because I've worked a lot on developing new markets, it's always the chicken or the egg. We all know this, right? Okay, so we have a wonderful new product. We want sustainable products. We want renewable energy, right? What's the problem? Well, the problem is, how many of you can afford to put solar panels on your house? I can't. So we're at a really interesting cusp where we recognize that the cotton industry didn't like hemp, right? And now our biggest enemy is going to be petroleum. All right, so that's going to be a big battle, but I'm ready. And I think that what we're seeing in the United States right now is that the rural economies are starting to recognize that fracking is finite. I don't know why they just realized this, but they did. And they're starting to re-envision the way that rural economies can actually support and change the world. They're not as afraid of the word climate or renewable energy as they used to be. But their reality is they have to have a crop that not only has high enough prices that they can make a living, but we can also produce enough of, cheaply enough, that we have enough biomass and materials to really jumpstart research and development. If we could start coming out with high-grade CBD oils, not for nutraceuticals, but for fiber and plastic applications, batteries, fuel, that's going to be a huge change. But what we need first is biomass. And we also need clean biomass, which is processing. Colorado is the largest producer of industrial hemp in the United States, top three in the world. High five.
Right.
Guess nice. What? We don't have the processing facilities for it. So that's one thing that we need to do as an industry to make sure that we take it from the farm product to the processing center, to research and development, to our cars, on us, around us, in different and unique ways. So I think we're coming there. And petroleum industry, I'm coming for you.
All right. Well, you know, I'm a social scientist, and I'm a social psychologist by trade. And one of the things when I hear, and I think I'm going to take this side of the couch, Stevie, so one of the things I hear when people say, well, I can't afford it. I can't afford it suggests that we are totally in the blind space, that we need money to create things. All we need is the resources to create things, right? So if we need to have more solar panels, then we need to get together with people in our industry that can create solar panels and provide the resources for them and get coalitions to develop that. So why is that not happening? Because then we can create the product that's necessary and then benefit from it economically.
I think you're starting to see that as the industry starts to progress and as people start to awaken to what this amazing plant can do, we will start to see the finances aspect of it starting to become a bigger role, where you'll start to see, you know, large box companies will be getting into building materials with industrial hemp. You know, stuff like hemp herd, there's already conversations with large corporate entities that to get hemp herd in mass production to these facilities so that people can, you know, do with them as they will. As we start to make more products with this remarkable product and we give the farmers a reason to grow, you'll start to see a larger economic boom in the rural areas than has ever been experienced since the industrial age. And it's going to be tremendous. Just people need to realize that.
I think another aspect we have to think about is education. I just read a figure, I don't know how accurate this is, but that only 3% of Americans know what hemp is. And when you think about that, and you think about here we are trying to build an industry that is sustainable, and people in the United States don't even know what it is. And for 70 years, we've never grown it, or we only during the war did we grow it. So we don't even have the seed banks. We're still working on developing the correct seed banks that we need because the United States destroyed all of them. So the educational piece is very important, that everybody else understand why we're doing this, because people just don't understand that a lot of times.
Well, the main thing that I see with hemp and sustainability is building a market. It's a product, and it needs to have a manufacturing central location. If you look how every city's been developed in America along a river where the water resources are, where they build a factory. Once you build a factory, everyone's going to grow to meet the industry. And I feel you that only 3% of Americans know, but I think that we can prove that there's a demand for hemp now. And if we can provide that hemp product, people will pick it over their plastic fuckery from petroleum products, like solar panels.
So, you know, Rasta, I agree with you. We got to provide a demand, right? So people can think about utilizing this as an alternative to less sustainable structural things to build things with and, you know, to use in their products. But, you know, that socialization exists, right? And so how do we get people from thinking about, you know, their iPhones rather than thinking about, you know, hey, I should have a house that when I'm gone, you know, 100 years from now, that sinks into the earth and becomes a part of the earth mother. You know, where's that consciousness change? How do we take that education that Leland's talking about and actually get it to be a priority in the minds of those people rather than those iPhones or those other things?
Well, maybe we can have an advertising pop up on their iPhones from Eric's Plastic Hemp Snowboard Company instead of whatever they put on your pop up. You know what I mean? That's the future, right?
So, you know, I talked about social, economic, and environmental development, and the social aspect is—it's a huge barrier. And we talk about getting, you know, industrial hemp in them, on them, around them, while we recognize that most people don't know what it is. They think they know what it is. And it's, I think, really important for us to teach them what it's not. So once they, because it's mind-blowing, 25,000 products off of one plant? I mean, come on.
Right.
I think really what we start to deal with is that people feel impotent. Come on, guys. Let's look at our government, our world situation right now. We don't feel like we really have a lot of control over making it the world we want it to be. And I think the first step we need to take is to say, yes, we can. And we are. And watch us while we do it. Because there's enough leadership in Colorado and enough people who are not scared to have these conversations that we can start building an army of sustainability hempsters. I'm ready. And I think at a certain point, now that, you know, Mitch McConnell's bill is up, people are talking about industrial hemp. It's not just a hippie plant anymore. And, I, you know, nothing. I'm a little punk rock girl, so I always take offense when people are like, you're such a hippie. And I'm like, no, I
want to
change the world. Yeah. But we're going
to
change the world, but we need to believe that we can, and it's not just our pocketbooks. It starts with demand and then our pocketbooks.
So, all right, the social scientist who's always teaching my kids, you know, there's three questions we always have to ask. What? Great. What we need to do is there, but how?
Right.
And why? I mean, why is kind of relational. Do we really want to exist further? I mean, what are we doing to the planet, you know? So
it seems to be all about education.
You have to be the person that you want to be. If you want to see change, you have to be the change. You can't wait for people to do it for you. You can't wait for your politicians to do it for you. You need to get up, get your ass out of bed, and do it yourself. If you want to do something in the world, there's nothing stopping you except yourself. And whenever you figure that out, you get up, you call your politicians, or you go say, hey, I want to build a hempcrete house today. Hey, I want to go and build a hemp plastic snowboard today. Or, hey, I want to go be a farmer and grow this amazing fiber that can save the world today. And you go and you do it. And if you don't know how to do it, you find people like us that can help you do it.
Here
and I want to help. If you want to grow fiber, if you want to farm, if you want to grow products, I want to help you do that. You come see me. We will do that together.
I was going to say, I'll give you my email, and you can text me. Don't call me. Text me, because I'm there.
Seems to be about education. And so this is the first step of education, is to draw interest from the people. But this education only goes as far as this yard and area unless you go home and tell everybody around you about the virtues of hemp. So it's really, if the power of the people is when we spread the love.
Nice, nice. Yeah, so it sounds like you guys are kind of presenting a procedure similar to what we talked about at Lucidity when I was there. And that is, you know, first educate people about what the benefits are and how they can do that. Then go seek out help to actually create the situation that's necessary. If they're going to grow, if they're going to utilize, then go seek help on how to do that. And then bring other people along to create, to have them learn and have them help, and you help them to create what they need to do as well.
And I just want to reiterate that, you know, not everybody is ready to go out and farm hemp, but you do have the opportunity to make statements, and you don't necessarily have to call your politicians. They're really great at responding to emails. So you can tell your friends, tell your parents, wear hemp clothes, bring hemp seeds. Bring hemp. It's everywhere. And make sure that it is normalized, right?
Be who you are.
It's everywhere. And we've just gotten to a point where we forgot. It was convenient to not shout out hemp. But I bet everybody out there has got some form of hemp on them, even if they don't know it. But let's start celebrating that. I got a hemp shirt. I got hemp plastic. I know these gentlemen have got great hemp products.
Wave your flag and let people know that you support industrial hemp.
Yep, and share it.
Put your money where your mouth is. Like do it. And show people that this is something that we need to be moving toward. When we get away from petroleum, we get away from war. When we can get into petroleum, we can let the desert go back to being a desert. We won't need that anymore. We can pull out the military-industrial complex will try to stop this movement. But we need to show them that with hemp, we can end all wars, because it's green, it's for the earth, it's earth-friendly. It's not about me. It's about us. And when people realize that, we can make us better. the government is not going to be supportive of that. It has to be a movement from us. Don't wait for them. It's us. It's up to us to make that change.
Remember, they're Rudolf Diesel, invented the diesel engine so farmers could grow their own fuel. So it's really the key to self-sufficiency, and it's not a new concept when it's not a new conversation we're having, but sort of like when we thought that herb would be legal in the 70s and all of a sudden Kind Bud hit and we all got so baked we forgot till 2000, and then we find like, wait a minute, shit's still not legal? So we're getting there with hemp, y'all, but really, as I was saying, the key is to take what you get here today, what a little piece of that, and spread it in your community, because if you believe in hemp, you can only say one thing. Hemp, hemp, hooray!
Hooray!
What do you say? Hemp, hemp,
hooray!
One more time, what do you say? Hemp, hemp,
hooray!
So are you saying that in the 70s we smoked ourselves out of power?
I'm telling you. Oh. We got the indica hit, and we got so stoned we forgot.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Some of us didn't forget. Some of us didn't forget.
No, but the thing we do have to remember is that the federal government stopped making hemp. Correct. It didn't save the seeds. It stopped making hemp. Basically, the United States government in 1938 said to the rest of the world, take it over. We don't want it. And that's what we're battling still. We keep talking about the educational piece. But that's really what it is all about. People just don't understand, and it's going to take us and you and everybody else who knows about this to keep making noise about it.
And monetarily, it's an economic thing. It's an environmental thing, but it hit them with the pocketbook. That's what really speaks, right?
I think I wanted to mention something that Leland said, and that We're at a cusp in our, I said this before, as far as our government, being able to take back and say what it is that we want. But there is a movement that actually unites all of us. Like, I've had a long history of talking about climate change, and you think that industrial hemp can get contentious? Try being somebody who uses the word climate in every other sentence. And we've gotten to a point now where we actually have something that all of us can talk about. All those farmers in their rural areas with their kids who they're trying to figure out, well, what are they going to do when they grow up? This is an opportunity for them to not go to fracking, to not be involved in petroleum. For the Native American nations in this country, this is an opportunity to bring livelihoods back home. And by home, I mean some of the worst places in the country. And if that's a message that we can share in those places, why can't we make this a movement for everyone? It's an opportunity right now. And we need to stop saying us and them. We need to start saying we. This country has an opportunity. And even though it's been almost 80 years of prohibition, again, Colorado is the third largest producer of industrial hemp in the world. That means that we can say something. This is an opportunity for us, you guys, to take back our planet, to take back our culture, and to be the kind of people that we want to be for everybody. It doesn't matter where you are.
There's room to grow, though. There's lots of room to grow. Don't think that there's room to grow.
Room to grow.
Speaking of grow.
Let's
move a little bit. First of all, I totally agree with you guys. I mean, what we're saying is that we are the ones we've been waiting for. And as someone who is arrested for chanting that, I think it's a beautiful thing that we need to keep talking about. We have to actually create that.
They let you out. They arrest you, but they let you out.
You'll always get out.
The
judge was
arrested,
like, I can't believe this. But anyway, the foundation that I started, the Foundation of Ministry of Life, is all about life, which is limitless, ideas, and free environments. So we're trying to do just that. Get us, as a people, to break down those limitations and create limitless situations where we can create environments of freedom for ourselves. And a big part of that, of course, is knowledge. And that's why I am facilitating these couch talks here. So we've got some material in front of us. Why don't we actually talk a little bit about that? And if you guys have some materials you want to talk about, too, or things that hemp, that you know hemp helps to create and is sustainable, let us know about them.
Yeah, so this is a 3D printed.
It's not a snowboard.
This is not a snowboard. This is made by some friends down in Texas. Green Springs Technology made this on a 3D printer. A young man, about 16 years old, prototyped this just to kind of fool around with the material. And this is mostly hemp, folks. You can do things with 3D printing that you can do with general petroleum-based printing materials. And then also over here, We have our little tiki guy. I don't know if you can see this guy. This is also, you know, pretty intricate and detailed, and you know, you can really do some cool stuff with this.
Is it made out of ganja?
Not smokable. It would turn you green before it would, you know. And then this is something. This is something we imported from China, but this is a pressed cork, you know, kind of resin impregnated hemp.
Plastic.
You know, little ruling tray here. Marines there, be all you can be.
Hemp and, plastic.
And then this here, we have a bag. Of course, there's lots of soft goods, amazing soft goods. This is made by Hemptique out of Carlsbad, California. I mean, everything that you buy with hemp just gets better and better and better as you wear it.
And Eric, I just want to point something out. So Leland, Eric, if you can hold up those products, yep. All three of those products. So I just want to point out something amazing right now. So what you're seeing in front of you is fiber, right? This is also fiber. This is CBD flower. Do you know what's missing? What's missing, guys? And I think it's amazing that there's not a single person that has hemp seed up here. So the commodities we're talking about are fiber and flour, and we haven't even talked about grain. So there's a huge potential in the marketplace for grain as well. But look at
this
all
is some
of
insulation.
This
is some
mind-blowing.
Insulation batting.
And
this
we
comes
haven't
from,
talked about Nutrisource.
SunSource, SunStrand Materials out of Louisville, Kentucky. Here's some pegboard. This is all made from industrial hemp. This is also made by SunStrand out of Louisville, Kentucky. Great stuff. I mean, this will replace OSB and, you know, whatever you have. You know, you can make cabinets out of this, make furniture out of this.
Is this for hamsters?
Yes, that could be for hamsters. That could be animal bedding of your choice. They use it for horse stalls and for cattle, goats, livestock. Absolutely, animal bedding is what its original purpose has been for decades and decades. But now we're starting to use it for making hempcrete. I built the first permitted hempcrete structure last October with a remarkable group of people. We have Left Hand Hemp out of Boulder, Colorado. We had Mr. Bob Escher and Escher Designs out of Dorset, Vermont. We had Mark Cover out of Pennsylvania, did the timber milling. But what we're trying to show is that, you know, people have been making chicken coops and, you know, little side sheds out of this, but we want to show that it could be an actual viable building material, and it's an education tool, and it's for a place to come and learn and understand what all the amazing, remarkable properties hemp can be.
I was just going to say, bringing it back to Earth Day, because one of the most amazing features about hempcrete is that it's carbon sequestering. So until the hempcrete actually cures, it's pulling carbon directly out of the air and the soil as it cures. So making sure that we're bringing it back to what are the real wonderful attributes of this plant on Earth Day, that's a great way to have your house clean the air.
Yes, and I actually was going to ask how well hempcrete fits in with the Earthship kind of model of building. And if anybody wanted to speak on that, I don't know.
I think hempcrete can be used just like concrete in anywhere. And the problem is now that most of the hempcrete is made in Europe and it's cost prohibitive to get it in the States. So until we get these left-hand hemp companies to be producing it, again, it's about marketing and economics. So hempcrete's readily available in Europe. And there's a lot of demand for it in the New World, in Costa Rica and all throughout the New World. People want hempcrete, but again, it's not big. You can't go to Home Depot and get it yet.
So one thing that the Colorado Hemp Industries Association has been working on, I talked a lot about biomass. And I'm really excited. Something that came out of our legislature, almost. It's been through
almost
two committees, and it's got to go to the floor. It's a lot of politicking left. But we're working to help take marijuana fiber waste out of the landfill. It's a ridiculous amount of tons every month that go into the landfill. And we're talking about potentially 35,000 tons of carbon that's emitted into the air from this waste material. The amazing thing is that there's no THC. It's only contaminant THC that comes into the stock. So if we can take all that fiber material, clean it, and turn it into herd, we could actually start competing right now with those international markets. And it's going to take a little bit of time, but there's ways. And I want a carbon sequestering house. I think that would be amazing.
Well, I've got an idea. In order to get this going, why don't we create a campaign to get all of those weed incarcerated people who just were incarcerated for a minor offense, when now that the use of it is legal and take them out and provide them jobs. Since we're all, our leaders are all about job provision, and start creating systems like this that we need with those people who are weed friendly, obviously. What do you guys think about things like that?
I think everyone that has been arrested for weed offenses should be released right now and should be compensated for their offenses. Jesus Christ. I mean,
Where's my check?
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, like this, I mean, people are realizing that this is not just, the evil devil lettuce, but it's like the God's cure. And the fact that people are willing to lock people up in cages for having, you know, God's miracle is repulsive.
We can look at cannabis and hemp holistically, and that through the CBD medicine now that's being sold in Walmarts, to hempcrete, to legal ganja here, to any kind of food, fuel, fiber, and medicine. Really, the key is to take it to your home communities and talk about it with the Elks. Talk about it at the Rotary Club. Talk about it at the PTA meetings at your school. So that's where it comes. And you'll find when you start bringing up ganja, you'll find that the most unlikely people will be like, oh, my wife has a card. And so, but you have to start that conversation. You got to bring it up at the dinner table.
All right. And I want to add something to that. You know who else really needs to have a conversation about industrial hemp? The popo. Come on, guys. Like, when it comes to the DEA and their misunderstanding about what is going on, I have literally had a sheriff come up to me and say, we don't understand what happens if you smoke industrial hemp. I was like, you don't understand what happens if you smoke industrial hemp. But there is a reality where they need to see what industrial hemp looks like. Again, if you got it in your pocket, if you have plastic, if you're wearing a shirt, go up and be like, hi, officer, how do you feel about industrial hemp? See what they say, but hear them out, because they also need education. And remember, who are they surrounded by? They're not surrounded by us. So we're the ones that can change our mentality by having those conversations. And there are people just like us. I know I see some head shaking, not all of them. But if we don't try, what do we get? We get the same thing for longer.
So with the DEA comes, make sure and have that conversation with them. That's what I just heard her say.
Awesome. Well, unfortunately, y'all,
that conversation with the DEA, it is, knock at the door.
It is time that we have to wrap this up. But what is fortunate is we have a Q&A session. And all of these guys will head over to the weed stream, and you can kind of have a nice conversation with them. But and come say hi and ask them anything, and it sounds like they will answer in any way, shape, or form. But before we leave, we have to also give an incredible shout-out to our incredible 420 on the block organizers.
Mad love.
One of them standing right
Green
there,
solution.
Justin Brothers.
I'm telling you, the one sponsors, solution called Green.
The sponsors of the event, right, the Green Solution, and the sponsor of the education and advocacy right here on his own stage, Hemp and Heal. Give them a big hand. We also have a few other sponsors that have made this possible. We have KGNU, who's done some promo.
Public radio right along here.
Talk Launch.
Check them out.
Talk
Voice, Launch. Voice of the other people.
Voice
KGNU.
Of the other people. There you go. Talk Launch, who's helped us with some equipment, right? We've got Spectra Art Space, right, who provided us with some awesome furniture right here. And they have a lot of incredible, incredible art that you can check out and see. And we've got a print to give away tonight. Tonight, on our last session, we also have an incredible opportunity for all of you and anyone to actually take home one of six goddess paintings that are being painted right now. This is one of them right now. This is Caitlin Alexander's painting, and all of them will come up tonight, and we will talk and show those paintings and auction them off, and the auction proceeds will go to supporting the Limitless Limitless Access Foundation for the Foundation of Life. So we look forward to seeing how that comes out as well. Thank you again, our incredible panel, for hanging out with me on my couch. And
couch
we love
sessions.
You guys. And for
Wait. Before we go, I want everybody to give a real nice round of applause for Dr. Life here, because this man's been working like day, night, nonstop to make this happen. Thanks for inviting
thank
us
you.
To your
thank
couch.
You. Thank you.
For
well,
real.
Let's keep this going, because it's education, like we said, right?
That's what we're here
and
for.
And thank you guys for checking us out. We look forward to talking to you. This is going to be a podcast that you'll be able to see for the next 8 months. We'll be releasing one on the 420 in the Block on the 420 in the Block website, as well as on any of the social media of anybody participating. So you'll be able to see it all. All right. Enjoy.
Thank you, John, for a beautiful partying day. 420 on the Block. How are you feeling?
All right.